You're one microscopic cog in his catastrophic plan, designed and directed by his red right hand.
You're listening to The Morgue.
Also known as The Screamcast, a slasher podcast, a very serious slasher podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Olga.
And today, we're discussing...
MTV Scream!
Season 2, Episode 10, entitled...
The Vanishing.
We are on the crack today.
You really are.
So... All right, spoiler warning for the show up until this point. It's an interesting one. There is no Brooke. Very sad, but it was actually probably a wise choice for once. No Mrs. Lang, no Stavo, we think.
No Kieran.
Except being mentioned of calling Emma a stalker.
And we think maybe no him himself either.
We'll see someday. Okay.
My
Vanishing.
God, what is going on?
How would you grade this episode?
It was really good.
I
think it had the most solid roundabout performance.
All around.
Oh my God. All around. I don't know. What did you put in my water?
I don't know.
Was it ayahuasca? Anyway, yes. It was a very performance.
Strong. You're so good at the speaking.
I don't know.
I'm going to give it an A.
Yeah, me too. Yes. This is not boding well.
Yes. I think it's the best episode that maybe they've ever done. Definitely the best of the season. You're right. That all the actors did a really good job. I think that Emma was much better than usual, both as a performance and just as a character.
Yes.
I think that the streamlined nature of this episode and how they did cut out so many characters really helped the episode. It felt very focused.
It really did.
I think the horror was some of the best they ever had. The actor plays Noah, I think, did a he did a really good job in that coffin. It was actually scary. His performance was great. It was dramatic. You know, it was the best performance of being scared, also. Like, it's one
on
thing,
the show.
Yeah, like, to think about, like, yes, we have horror, but this is the best performance of fear that we've had, you know?
Yeah. I would say the next closest one would probably be Brooke in the season one finale.
Yeah, that was great, too.
But this one had a range.
Yeah, because that one was also, like, very in-the-moment, high-octane, like, you know, he was given time to think about what was happening.
Yeah.
And I think that Zoe did a great job, too, with being creepy. And, of course, it's one of the biggest deaths we've ever had, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we can talk about every, you know, what all that involves and everything when we get to it. But I still think emotionally and dramatically and aesthetically, it was very solid and very heartbreaking and tragic. And
this episode just, you know, how I always say, like, well, for what the show has to be.
Yeah.
It's this grade.
Yeah.
For what we saw.
Yeah.
I think this was an A.
Yeah, yeah.
That was kind of like...
There really wasn't any real issues
there
with
weren't...
It.
I really can't think of anything.
I mean, the only things that I wasn't a huge fan of were kind of the flashbacks, because I thought we'd get a lot more out of them, and instead they were kind of vague, and I don't even know if they were necessary.
Just makes us think of, like... I think they were necessary, because otherwise it would have been too...
Tolling.
Empty of an episode. Especially since we haven't had them. And then what I think it means is that we will get more flashbacks.
Yeah.
But the next time we have them, it won't have to be it won't have to be flashbacks every other second.
Yeah.
So this kind of took off the edge of that and set it up in just enough of a way where we are curious and maybe a little too confused.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, so we broke it down into three categories: Audrey and Emma, Noah and Zoe, and the sheriff, Miguel, and Maggie. So we're going to talk about Audrey and Emma, which was a really nice pairing this episode. I think that giving them conflict that actually made sense really heightened both characters. I think especially Emma... for once, was angry and not whiny, and angry in a way that I understood totally.
Not just justified anger, yeah. But, you know, it felt real. Yeah. It felt relatable. Mm-hmm.
And she was going after answers that we wanted her to go after. Exactly. And she wasn't being unintelligent.
Exactly.
She was even the one who was like, we should probably go to the cops.
Yeah. You know. I mean, and this time they did have correct reasoning, and through what Audrey was saying, it was like, even the explanation of why they can't go to the police was like emotional and driven and like,
The performances heightened it to the point where I didn't for a second go, you're being an idiot for not going to the cops.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially with
Noah
that.
At the end, when Noah doesn't want to go to the cops for Zoe, like, mm-hmm. I totally understood why.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was great. There's a lot of tension there. We start off with sort of Audrey's talking to Emma. She's like, you can ask me anything. And so Emma's like, so you knew she was my half-sister this whole time. You didn't say anything. I thought that was interesting. I wasn't sure that she knew all that from mm-hmm. the very beginning.
Yeah.
And then I think the biggest piece of info that we get in this opening scene is that Audrey believed Piper wasn't the killer because he was with Piper when Rachel died. So we know for sure that the other killer is the one who killed Rachel.
Yeah, that was a great reveal.
Yeah.
Like, totally unexpected. Mm. You know, we've theorized that wasn't Piper.
Yeah.
How it would make sense that it wasn't Piper.
Yeah.
But for Audrey to be Piper's alibi for that adds a whole nother level to it. Yeah.
Now, I think another thing that's interesting is, at this point, I believe Audrey and all that she... Like, I don't think there's going to be another twist on. Like, for a while, I was hoping there'd be another twist. At this point, I don't think there will be, and I think that's okay now. Mm-hmm. I think that they added enough drama to it, that they connected enough with Emma and everything, and that the character consequences are strong, and I get where Audrey's coming from. The only thing that I'm left dangling with is why the killer / Noah / Audrey all were like, Audrey can't go to the cops because she'd get in so much trouble. That still feels a little silly to me.
It does.
But it makes sense that he didn't want to talk to Emma about it.
Yeah.
And I'll say one other thing real quick, and then is that I also still think it's weird that he almost hit Noah with the bookend.
Yeah. Okay. That is still
a bit much.
Not just a bit much, but was setting us up for something more dramatic than what we got.
Yeah.
As for the cops, it could have put her as an accessory of, like, she was convinced, but she still didn't come forward to the police with new information. So they didn't even have the chance to investigate Piper themselves properly. So then it escalated until, as Audrey puts it later, it was too late and there was nothing she could do except potentially be in a lot of trouble.
I still think that there is, like, a weird prejudice there. It's like, you have to tell them if they're the son or the kid of a murderer. Just because they're the kid of a murderer doesn't make them a murderer.
No, like, but they're not. It's, if everyone's a suspect.
Yeah.
She was like, but she wasn't a suspect to me. It's like, but she was new in town, and then when she got in town, it was just suspicious timing.
It's suspicious, but I just don't think that you could ever win a court case saying that Audrey is an accessory for not saying anything. Like, it seems... I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
That was her fear. Yeah. Rational or not, that was her fear.
Yeah.
And being shunned and betrayed by people. Fine. Let's say she got out of court.
Yeah.
Everyone would still see her as the one who brought the killer to town. Yeah. So
now, I want to ask you, when she says, I was with Piper that night,
I thought she meant...
Could you think there's still a possibility that they were together? Yes. I think that would be interesting. I think that kind of fits into her having a thing for Emma, potentially, and would also add to why she didn't want to blame Piper. At the same time, I think that might be a step too far as Rachel is concerned, in my opinion, because it's like, I already feel a little iffy about the fact that Audrey was doing all this stuff feeling... We'll get to it in more in detail in a little bit. But Audrey was doing all this stuff feeling heartbroken over Emma while she supposedly had feelings for Rachel and was, like, being a good girlfriend to Rachel. But then if you also have her, like, hooking up with Piper while she's with Rachel And well, or even after, right after Rachel got murdered, like...
I don't think she was hooking... That's the thing. She wasn't necessarily hooking up with Rachel after Rachel got murdered.
You mean hooking up with Piper after Rachel got murdered?
Well, she wasn't necessarily doing the other one either.
I hope not.
What is going on in my mouth today? She wasn't
necessarily hooking up with her.
With Piper afterwards. But let's say, you know, they've been working together, communicating all this time.
Yeah.
For this documentary. You think Audrey was telling the truth about wanting to
do it.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's say that that's what they were doing. They were in in Piper's hotel room.
Yeah.
Whatever. Something happens that night. And then Rachel gets killed.
Yeah.
And Audrey is in, you know, mourning. So I could see her still being like, with Piper, and then being like, that was a mistake, whatever. It could be that we will never address this again. Yeah,
personally, the more I think about it, I kind of hope she wasn't with Piper, but...
I hope she wasn't because of the gross age difference, frankly.
It's not that big of an age difference, is it? As far as the characters, I think maybe...
4 years?
How old is Piper supposed to be? I guess Yeah, it might be a gross age. I'm not really sure on what the age difference is there.
Like four or five years, I thought.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right.
And Audrey was 17?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well. No, that's not... No, I don't like that, but...
Anyway.
Yep.
So the killer makes Audrey and Emma team up to save Noah. We talked about the no cops, and Emma's for them, Audrey's against them.
Saying, I really liked her thing of, like, this is how he works, this is what he does, this is what he's been doing to me. I really liked that scene shot from the back seat of the car, of the SUV.
Yeah, that was good. So then Emma finds a letter that the killer planted that was from Audrey to Piper, and sort of reveals more of Audrey's feelings back then, calling her like a princess bitch.
That was weird.
Yeah, there were some odd choices of lines there, I think. But the important thing is that, you know, basically Audrey wanted to get back at Emma for something. And I do think it was maybe more than just the documentary that I don't think she was like murder anyone necessarily, but that they were maybe trying to them down a peg or...
That's the thing. I think it was supposed to be, she was talking about how this documentary was supposed to be about the hypocrisy of Lakewood, about how it was this quiet town. And then there was this outcast who went and murdered these popular people.
Yeah.
And then in the process reveal that he had a kid.
Yeah.
That Brandon James had a child and it's Piper. But he had it with Maggie, who is still in town, and Emma is her daughter, who's still in town, and now embodies this new generation of the popular kids, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's supposed to be, from what I understand, an embarrassment
to
not just Lakewood, but specifically to Emma. Yeah. And that was supposed to be her payback. Yeah. Like, I'll take you down. You made me one of the outcasts. You left me behind to be with them.
I'm going
to
make you into a freak kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to make you into a freak like me.
Yeah. Okay, so she sees the letter, she's upset about it, and then they talk in the car on the way, so they find the Daisy, Daffodil, behind the murder board, which was Emma being smart, which was nice.
Emma was smart this episode.
Yeah, and so then they're driving to the barn that they used to hang out at, when Audrey's mom was getting sick,
I forgot that Audrey's mom died.
I'm not really sure if she's dead or if she's just sick. I can't even remember. I assume she's dead. It's hard for me. There was some stuff about her family last season. I really don't remember.
We saw her dad.
Yeah.
Where are everybody's parents?
Everybody's just, there's only the Maddox dad. That's it.
And Maggie.
Yes. And Miguel. But,
That's it. There are three parents. And, you know what they say.
And Eli's.
And Eli's wonderful example of a mother.
Okay, so they talk about how they connected there, and Piper knew about this place because Audrey had taken her there and told her all about
everything.
Emma. So Emma's like, you are a stupid, hey, I hate you, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Okay, Dan is also dipped into the stash, I guess. I really liked that movement of, like, there's this creepy barn, but everything outside of the barn is, like, pretty with these daffodils growing, and it's this place that was the innocence of their, like, represents the innocence of their childhood.
And of their purity of their connection and their almost family-like friendship.
Exactly.
I do think this place has a ton of abandoned places in this town, but it's getting kind of ludicrous how many abandoned places, but what are you going to do? I definitely think that their whole interaction is just the acting, the dialogue was all really strong up there back and forth here. Mm-hmm. But I got where Audrey was coming from and how she was so angry, but she was still made a mistake.
Yeah.
And that Emma was calling her out on it, you know?
And Emma was right to do so, and Audrey once again didn't tell the whole truth. Yeah. Until she had to. The only thing that kind of maybe bothered me a little bit in this episode is that I really didn't feel that much of a sense of urgency
in their discussions.
Yeah,
because they were like, you're going after Noah, this is kind of important, but we're going to stop and talk about these things that are less important.
Yeah. And like, they were, I don't know, it's hard to tell how quickly they were driving, but you know, I might drive a little faster. Like, I might drive above the speed limit, maybe, on a quiet, abandoned street, you know?
Yeah, I get what you're talking about,
But that was just like, it was necessary for the episode, and that was just a small detail.
I get where you're coming from, though.
Mm-hmm.
So they get the gif of this being where Jake was killed in this barn. And
disemboweled, maybe?
So that was intense.
And there's the pig.
Yeah, the pig.
Similarly disemboweled.
Yeah.
So right there.
Interesting pig symbolism in this season.
I was thinking that.
So the big reveal with the end of them, so obviously we're going to go into the Noah stuff in a bit, but the big way that their arc ends is with the reveal that Audrey had her heart broken by Emma and that she really cared about her. So this is the season of confessing love.
For Audrey, specifically.
Well, no, Audrey, well, she got confessed too, and then she confessed.
That's true.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I personally think this would have worked more if we didn't have the Noah thing.
I agree.
But I do think this is better than the Noah thing.
Yep.
To me, the Noah thing felt like there was no build-up to it, right? That it just kind of came out of nowhere and it was pointless. To me, whereas this reveal, I think, makes sense with things that we saw early on in the show, and it kind of makes those early interactions more interesting, even. And it explains things as opposed to just being like, we're doing this because it will be drama. Like, this actually makes sense.
It's what happens in high school. It's like, well, this happens to some people.
Yeah. So, in that way, I thought it was good. I remember Audrey and Emma talking the first time about Audrey being bi and, like, how kind of, like, flip Emma was about it. And, like,
flip?
She was like, you know, like,
do you mean flippant?
Yeah, that flip is another way of saying that.
I've never heard this.
You've never heard that before?
No, that's weird. Yeah.
And she was like, you know, I think she was like, well, who doesn't like girls sometimes? Everybody loves Scarlett Johansson or something like really stupid.
Oh, yeah,
like
I remember this.
Yeah, and I was just like, so like that to me, that like makes that scene more interesting, you know, if you think from Audrey's perspective. So it almost, unlike with Noah, where that reveal is like, I don't think this fits anything we've seen before, this makes me almost want to go back and rewatch old scenes.
Yeah.
Now, are there some problematic elements to it? We have some emails about that, so maybe we can talk about that then.
Great.
Do you have anything else you want to say about it?
Well, I think the thing that I really liked about it is how Audrey delivered the fact of, like, the information that you broke my heart and you didn't even know it.
Yeah.
So it's not just that she didn't reciprocate her feelings for Audrey, that Emma didn't.
Yeah.
It's that she was at this stage where she didn't even, maybe was even, like, starting to emotionally distance herself from Audrey overall.
Yeah.
Like, she just wasn't.
Yeah, because it was already, like, I already kind of understood Audrey's anger as far as, like, you were my best friend, you were, like, so important to me, and then you just up and left me for these awful people like Nina, who will treat me like crap. But and it's on top of that, I was in love with you, and you completely stopped talking to me and went over these awful people just to be cool. You know, it makes a lot of sense. Her level of anger, her mistakes make a lot of sense. Also, even her line about, like, I just needed a friend.
Yeah. That was very important. Like, she was my friend. I trusted her. Yeah.
I will say, I feel like Noah kind of undercuts that idea in a weird way.
We don't know how recent their friendship is. And the fact is, all right, some people are fine having, like, one best friend.
Yeah.
But doesn't mean she didn't still feel lonely sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And especially if she had a sister-like relationship with Emma.
Except that she also was into Emma. So, right. It's, you know, it gets into
Well, okay. Yeah. Let's put it at a... at such a family-like bond.
Yeah.
Where romance can fit into that. Well, but
the thing that's interesting is that if she was with Piper, that might make more sense that she was saying, like, I was lonely, you left me, and now this your sister filled the void. You know, like,
yeah. So, and Piper could have played on that even more.
Yeah. And God knows he probably would have.
Yes.
So, all right. Noah and Zoe?
Yeah.
The last of this.
Zoa.
Oh, Zoa. Very heartbreaking ending here. Mm. But going back to the beginning, Noah is lured to the lake.
Stupid boy.
Made some bad choices here. There were some really nice... So we knew a lot of this what was going to happen in this scene because of the promo, but I still thought it had some really nice moments. There was a nice sort of musical sound-based jump scare when he gets a phone call.
That was so good.
That was nice. I love the killer saying, long-time listener, first-time caller. That was really great. But there was a second where I was like, this does remind me of when a certain character in Scream 2 died.
I was thinking that this entire sequence felt very Scream movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so
I was like, for a second,
will they actually kill him? Especially given that we don't know if there would be another season. I thought that was a possibility.
The thing that was pissing me off this entire, going into this episode, was they freaking showed him getting stabbed.
In the promo.
In the promo.
Yeah.
And that was, in my mind, that is unacceptable.
Well, so...
I don't care if it was the first act, you know? Like, you didn't have to show that.
Yeah. To me, it's a hard call as far as marketing goes, because obviously they're not doing well in the ratings and they want to attract people.
They've already given up on this show.
Yeah.
Like, the people left are the ones who were going to stick around to the finale.
Yeah. So I like the whole back and forth about him being like, you slept with Zoe, now you can both die. And I was like, I think you need to, like, update your tropes. That's pretty, like, problematic.
Yeah. That's the thing. This entire thing was doing that entire balance of, like, I will call you on your shit, but also supply some shit for you to call on, you know?
That was good. Yeah. Noah is stabbed, and then he's buried alive, and he's scared, and he's losing oxygen. And again, John Carna, phenomenal performance here. That actor has a, you know, I love this character for him, but in general, that actor has a lot go ahead of him.
I really hope
he
gets another great role.
Yeah.
From here.
Because this is... He has range.
He has such range.
And that was not completely clear to me in season one. But in this season, I think he's done a great job. And I feel like I can definitively say, without a second thought, that he is much better than Randy. He is so much more of it. Like, people hated on him and said he was, like, a poor man's Randy when this show started. But no, he is so much better.
You actually like him?
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah. Yeah, and he just has range. He's more interesting.
Please have a great career.
Yeah.
Like,
he's so good. So he's losing oxygen. He's legitimately scared. That was great. He's trying to be tough. He's like, I'm not going to give you the satisfaction killer. So we just talked about the camera was on him. I thought that was great. Him talking, being like, is someone saving me or is this the killer that I'm talking to?
And the close-up that provides.
Yeah, yeah. The visual in general, the visuals.
The visuals from within the casket
direction in this episode was really strong.
Yeah.
Like, even you talked about when they had the Audrey revealing the thing to Emma, that, like, the dust billowed up.
Oh,
and,
man,
like,
that was so great. Yeah. That just the setup of, like, outside, like I said, this weird, stark, dirty environment of being inside the barn.
Yeah.
And then outside is, like, the lush green sunshine.
Yeah.
And as she reveals it, like, right before, we have this shot looking out the door, and the wind blows in, and there's just this cloud of...
Like, between them.
Dirt. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that was a really pretty shot. And it got my attention, too. I saw that, and I was like, I will be watching what happens next.
Yeah.
But back to this. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that was my bad. So he tries to be tough, but then he hears Zoe screaming. And I was so sure that was because Zoe was the killer, was one of the
Me
killers
too.
At this
Me
point.
Too. I was like, that's it. She she's record, you know, putting in through a mic or something, a stereo of a recorded noise of her screaming to psychologically mess with him.
I was
so certain of that, but at the same time, I was like, this might be a little too much of a certainty. So maybe not.
Yeah.
I didn't think she would also be in a box. I thought that she would just be something more. I felt like something more along the lines of like a Will or Jake death.
Where they see it happen.
Yeah. Where it would be more bloody. Would be waiting.
So he starts getting hallucinations of Zoe. And then what's her name? Kiana. Kiana Lede. Did a really good job here. Really creepy, really sweet, a weird mix of the two. The lighting, the sort of glowing on them, her floating above him.
I loved it. It was like this. They strung up those like kind of like string lights around the corner of the coffin, and it was either like a cool blue tone, and sometimes when they really wanted to punctuate like the love he clearly felt for her, and that this version of her felt for him, they had these glowing, warm lights, and it was just mood lighting, basically.
And I, their whole discussion, but let's go to Boston. They should have come here and been on our podcast. Come on, guys. So that
would have been nice.
Really good dialogue.
Their whole thing, because they bonded over wanting to go to that space camp, about, like, imagine you are in space and you're looking down on the Earth. And that was, that was, like, heartbreakingly peaceful and sweet.
It's an interesting episode because I don't feel like we have as much to say about it, because it is just these drawn out scenes of dialogue and action, and it's like we really like the dialogue, but we're not going to read every line. So not as much actual individual plot points happened. But I loved all of their interactions. Their chemistry is great. It's really sad to see the actress go.
This was a send out for her. You know, arguably not her character as much, because there is the question of why was she wearing her Miss Lakewood?
I mean, she had sort of come from that, I guess. I'm confused. No, because
she had come, they'd had sex, and she was just wearing a regular, like.
Yeah, so I don't understand how that happened. Like, she was wearing that.
Unless she was kidnapped from her house. And
he dressed her up in her outfit.
Might have forced her to, of like, if you don't put this on, I'll stab you. Gross.
It's, so there's a few things here. So we should talk about the really cool thing was that they found, so obviously they saved Noah, and then they found her body, and it was already gone, that it had been a video, not a live feed, and so it was giving them hope that where there was none, and it was really painful. The lighting and the cinematography on Noah finding her dead, I thought was really great, with like the stark white background blown out.
The lights, the sun setting behind him.
Really good.
You know, a thing they show is that I was like, why would they run out on the dock if it was like right there by the shore? And on our repeat viewing, we saw that you could only see it like half submerged in the water from the dock. So it's like, but it's a second of like they're the three of them, Emma, Audrey, and Noah, after Noah has refused to go to the hospital despite being very much stabbed, running onto this peaceful, beautiful, serene dock. And he's soaked in blood. And they're dirty. And they're frantic, and then they turn, and they run back, and they pull her out, and then we look, and then we have this shot of the water pouring out as they, as they crack it open, and then even the look on her face, like how they, even how they shot
her body,
Zoe, like deceased. It was like this episode, or at least a lot of the scenes in these plots of the Emma, Audrey, Noah, Zoe plot. They were pretty.
I mean, because I was taking note of the fact when they were running onto that dock that I was like, it's very interesting and different for a horror show for it to be bright and brightly daytime when this is happening. But then they used it in a really nice way there when they had those shots with him finding the body. I thought it was really good.
It was unique for both Scream and the Scream series as a whole, I would say.
It was cool. And I like the sort of contrast they've been having this season of having the lake a lot more during daytime. It just gives it a different feel and more character, because last season was always nighttime, it felt like.
Which gave us a little confusion sometimes, too.
So let's talk about killing Zoe and sort of the repercussions of her death. And sort of now that we know she isn't the killer, how we feel about some of her past decisions and, you know, what's going on there.
Well, we can more definitively say that it was just out of...
jealousy.
Jealousy and insecurity.
Yeah.
And that, you know, her having... not being around in Lakewood during the murders...
Was legitimately
just, like, a way of introducing a new character who...
Yeah. No, she was a really good red herring, I'll say she that. Was. I think that it's an interesting question as to whether she is the one who sent the file at the end of the day. I'm going to guess no, because they don't want to tarnish her memory now.
I don't think it was her. I think it was still from her computer, but again, the killer knows how to hack.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty definitive.
Because I think it would be weird to sort of tarnish her memory now and say, oh, actually it was her that sent it.
Yeah.
And that Noah shouldn't have trusted, you know, because...
No, I think she was telling the truth.
Yeah.
I hope we can look at what their relationship was. Mm. Was just like a start and stop thing between two insecure people who didn't know.
I do think that the two points that are potentially the strangest in retrospect, if she's not the killer, are her... flip-flopping and changing her mind, being like, let's go on a date, right after being like, you should figure out your stuff with Audrey.
Yeah.
That moment is weird and just not great writing.
The early season was just a mess.
Yeah, there were definitely some bumpy bits. But that bit, and then I do think it was a little weird when she stopped having sex with him right after the fair and everything. She saw Audrey calling. Yes, you're right. He's insecure. I guess you can blame it on that. But it was just a strange choice because he had so clearly been like, Audrey, get the hell out of my room
Yeah, and he was like, not looking at his phone. She was like, it's Audrey, right? And then he glanced and he's like, yeah.
Yeah. So like, I feel like...
He didn't turn off his phone.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, but that is a weird point, but these are points that I can let go of.
I can too. It was meant, the reason they had them was to keep her alive as a red herring.
Yeah.
Until they... didn't keep her alive at all.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was very skillful. It put doubt in our minds. It caused a bunch of theorizing that went nowhere, which is what you want in a show.
Yeah.
Like this. Especially this late in the season.
Yeah.
Compared to last season. Yeah, come on. Yeah. But, yeah, you know, it makes me think of how in the beginning of the season we were like, good episode, bad episode, good episode, bad episode. By comparison with this last run of just consistency.
Yeah.
Even the good episodes from the early part of the season.
Yeah.
Because of their weird contribution to the inconsistency, they're not good.
What are you saying?
So, like, there were the good, passable episodes. Yeah. Because they set up such a mess of a journey of, like, character motivation by comparison to this end half. It's like we had to go through all of this weird back and forth.
Yeah. I don't know. I still think that the premiere was good, and I still think the episode where they killed the guy in the hotel was pretty solid with Kevin's
Right. But see, here's the thing. That's what I remember from those episodes.
Yeah.
Like the killing plot, you know?
Yeah.
And then the Kevin stuff of like
I don't know, there was really good Audrey stuff in the beginning of the season.
I really don't remember it.
Yeah. Really? I thought the Audrey stuff was great.
Honestly,
I kind of think the Audrey stuff was better in the beginning when we didn't know what was
happening. That's because you're like, this is it. That was the reveal.
Well, exactly, because I thought they did a fantastic job building up Audrey stuff in the first few episodes.
Yes, but now that we know, I feel like their payoff of what we, including the episode where she did reveal that lame reveal, that was a really good episode.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, the beginning.
It's interesting because I thought you were going to go with that thing was you were saying even with the bumpy beginning, I thought what you were going to go was this season is definitely better than season one.
It is.
Yeah, I think to me it's like, even with that bumpy beginning, I think at this point season two is better.
Okay, yes. And I do want to say that.
And it's kind of making me, I'm beginning to get sadder that it seems like there won't be a season three.
Because now they've found their footing.
Because that's the thing is I felt like halfway through the season, I was like, you know, I'll be sad to see it go, but I can live without it. You know, like, season one was okay. You know, there'll be other horror shows. You know, and then two seasons of this story isn't that bad. It's not like I need five seasons of a different killer every season.
Right.
But now, it feels like they're firing on all cylinders, and it definitely does feel a little sad that we're not potentially going to get a season three.
Yeah. No, no. I want to say that I agree with that absolutely, yeah. where this season overall, and I kind of said that of like, this is how you keep a killer hidden. This yeah. is how you do red herrings. But that said, overall, the beginning of the season to me is a blur.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, things weren't really distinct of like, this is the episode where this happened. This is the episode where this happened.
I definitely disagree with
That's
you.
That's fine. But... You're entitled to yeah. that. You're entitled to disagree.
We very clearly had the ayahuasca episode. We very clearly had the movie theater episode. We very clearly had the Kevin
the movie
episode.
Theater episode?
Yeah, the premiere.
Oh, the premiere. Yeah. Like... So, but here's the thing. I don't remember, like, I remember individual things that confused me.
Yeah.
I remember individual things that were cool.
Yeah.
And everything else is kind of like a weird mush of like weirdness.
Yeah, okay.
To me. So that's not to say it was bad. Like, I agree that this season is way stronger as a whole so far and more interesting than the previous one.
Yeah.
But it's almost because it's working on a different set of rules.
Yeah.
And not because it's like figured out the Scream. Well, it's like, it's figured out the formula a little better of how to do a slasher series.
Yeah.
But even then, it only figured that out after...
A couple bumpy
after
vibes.
Being, making a mess to make sure they had a mess to work off of, where everyone's, like, confused
Well,
and
honestly,
doubting.
What I think I would say is that it's... It should have been a 10-episode season.
Yes.
If you cut
yes.
two episodes out, I think this would have been a lot stronger.
That's been our big critique. Yeah. But, this episode was good. This is just kind of my, like... This episode had a lot of payoff for resolving theories that were set up throughout the season that have confused us and confounded us, which is a good thing.
But
also it means that there
the
were
time.
A lot of weird loose ends as we went along.
Yeah. All right. So I will say I have some more thoughts about the specific killing of Zoe, but we have some emails that bring up those points. And
yeah,
so
I don't
want to
touch
more.
On anything until that.
So we're going to talk about the sheriff. So, Maggie and Miguel. They find the pig heart inside of Piper, which was, odd. It was an interestingly gruesome way to start the episode.
Remember what I said about there being a lot of pretty stuff in this episode? Well, one of the scenes we get is directly from inside Piper's body cavity. Pretty?
Beautiful.
I don't think so.
Beautiful pig heart. So Miguel thinks that Brandon James is back, but Maggie can't believe that he'd ever hurt Emma or her like this.
Or even that he'd survive what happened to
him. Yeah. So then we get flashbacks that sort of show the two of them when they were younger.
Teenagers.
Saving Brandon. And so presumably after he was shot by the cops.
Yeah.
It's kind of unclear, but that's what I assume.
Well, I think I saw him like clutching his shoulder and like blood coming out through his fingers, but it was dark, so.
They hide a knife he had, and then he leaves in the woods and leaves a message behind for her. These flashbacks I thought were odd. I mean, it's interesting to have Brandon James back in play, but only if he's someone we know secretly with plastic surgery or something.
What about his brother Troy?
Yeah, because I'm just like, I don't know that it would be no way be satisfying if the killer was Brandon James.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah,
but here's the thing. They brought up Troy a lot earlier this season.
Yeah.
And now they're not talking about Troy at all in this episode.
Well, yeah, I mean, because I thought especially with the picture unless do you think that that was Brandon with Emma and not no, but they seem that they think he's dead.
They
so
think
probably
that Brandon
Troy,
is dead.
It's probably Troy with Emma in that picture.
Right. So they're not like, could it be Troy coming back? Like,
yeah,
that was kind of a weird inconsistency.
I thought they had one line that made it seem sort of like, well, they're like, well, or it's either him or maybe him. I thought maybe I'm making that up, but I could have sworn that they like
in this episode?
I could have sworn that they alluded to him without saying his name. In this episode.
Maybe.
But I might be wrong.
Maybe? I don't know. But the fact that they didn't outright name him this episode is a little weird.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm just forgetting. But yeah, it seemed strange. And I don't want it to secretly be plastic surgery. I don't want it to secretly be,
Kieran is actually Brandon James after hundreds of $1,000s.
Another thing I guess you could say is it's a child of Brandon James, and I don't really want it to be that either.
So many children of him.
I would maybe...
What about Troy's kid?
That's what I was going to say. I would prefer, if there was going to be a kid reveal, I'd prefer it to be a Troy's kid.
Yeah.
Because then at least then it isn't the killer 2 years in a row is Brandon James's kid.
I'm still confused. Not confused, but now... So that's the thing why I'm certain there will be more flashbacks.
Yeah.
Of, we didn't see Maddox.
Yeah, they brought up Quinn in the barn before, but they didn't.
Right. We didn't see Maddox. We didn't... We don't really understand what kind of relationship Maggie and Miguel had when they were younger. If they were just classmates.
Yeah, why did she go to Miguel, of all people?
Yeah, exactly.
And what's Kevin doing right in that part of time?
Well, wasn't he attacked?
So was he in the hospital while Maggie's going around and, like, saving...
Well, she always had a weird, you know, of Brandon came to her.
Yeah. I will say, I feel like...
I don't know.
I feel like this episode makes Maggie worse. I am very much
adult
losing...
Adult Maggie or teen Maggie?
Adult Maggie. I am losing respect for her rapidly as she continues to completely keep her daughter in the dark no matter how many killers attack her.
Yeah.
And as she refuses to believe that maybe it's Brandon James and refuses to believe that someone can survive being shot or, you know, it's just like... It's just... She's seeming naive... And a little idiotic. I don't think, I mean, maybe there'll be more in the flashbacks that help explain some stuff, but this episode certainly did not put me on her side.
Yeah.
And in fact, I feel like it's time to kill this girl off. But
I can understand that. Yeah. Her actions were a little bit strange. I really wasn't thinking about her that much.
Yeah.
Of, like, we'll see where this message note goes.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We have Miguel checking out the house again and finding a secret room with pictures of Emma.
More pictures of Emma, and then an open window.
Mm-hmm.
And out we look, and there is a black hoodie?
Potentially. Maybe? Well, I think you're supposed to be questioning, is it the killer's cowl or whatever, but I think it's a hoodie.
It looked more like a hoodie based on fabric.
I think it was Stavo. I think you agree with me.
I think it was Stavo, but it could have been Kieran.
Yeah, it could have been Kieran.
Could have been Eli, even.
Could have been plenty of people, but I think if it is Stavo, I think Stavo was doing the same thing his dad was, which was investigating.
I agree.
So
Stavo's gonna make a good cop someday.
Yeah. So that was interesting, and then we had Maggie in the present leaving a message for Brandon. And Eli's walking all creepy, and that's how we end out the episode. Which
Eli, what you doing?
I'm kind of bummed. I completely knew that was where the episode was going to end off, because in the previously, they made a point of reminding you about Eli, and he wasn't in the episode at all. And I was clearly Eli's going to be in this episode.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, okay, this is what it's going to be. Right. But, I mean, I don't know that I blame them for that.
No. It would have been... It left us off on an interesting note, arguably a more interesting note than Maggie puts a note into a tree.
No, definitely more interesting.
So
I still don't think that Eli's the killer, but it was still a nice creepy cliffhanger.
He's a creepy kid. Yeah. All these kids are creepy. Yeah. All of them.
Creepy Lakewood kids.
Mm-hmm. Children of the Corn, remember?
All right, so we're going to endure some feedback. We have some emails and a tweet to read from you guys this week. If you want to contact us and you want to be part of this feedback segment in the future, there's a myriad of ways that you can do that. You can email us at thescreamcast@gmail.com. You can check us out on Twitter @ScreamPod and leave us a tweet over there. You can check out our website, thescreamcast.wordpress.com. Leave us a contact. There's a contact form on there. Also, please rate us or review us on iTunes, like Olivia Eiler.
I'm assuming. Thank you for your very kind review, Olivia. We really appreciate it. Reviews and ratings help people find us.
And speaking of Olivia, we have an email.
Awesome. All right.
I'm going to read this one.
Cool.
Olivia says, thanks for the weekly Scream supplement and the insight you provide. Although I agree with your tweet that stated that the conflict between Emma and Audrey makes Emma a more watchable character, I'm not sure the revelation of a past crush was a good move for the show. First, Noah revealed feelings for Audrey. Now Audrey is revealing feelings for Emma. It just seems to go against the platonic relationships I enjoyed watching during the first season. Although I'm sure this isn't the intent, it seems to send the false messages of boys and girls can't just be friends, and bisexual girls can't just be friends with girls. What are your thoughts?
So, if you don't mind me starting off.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so I think that the Noah crush on Audrey reveal is the biggest mistake of this season.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
I hate that. To me, the fact of that message against boys and girls can't be best friends is, it's like consistently on TV, you feel like you finally see that, and then it's undermined.
Well, I think also, it's the, I don't think that the benefits of, like, the artistic benefits they got from having that reveal do not make it worth the negative potential ethical ramifications there.
Not even ethical. Well, I don't really see the point to it. Yeah. I don't really see what it added to the story or anything. I wouldn't have minded if Noah had said, like, you know, when we first met, I kind of hung out with you because I had a crush on you, but now, like, you know, that moved on. I would have been fine with that. Where as a means of their friendship,
I will say
he had felt that, but currently, or around the time of the show taking place, I did not like that as being part of
Say an interesting wrinkle to that idea is that they're now platonic male-female friends, and that he moved on and is not carrying a torch for her, and they're still being friends, and it's out in the open, but I get where you're coming from.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. Now, as for the
Audrey Emma
and bisexual girls can't just be friends with girls.
Yeah.
I would say that's more of a, as they were coming into young adulthood, Audrey felt this.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I identify as straight. I don't know. I can't speak for this. I don't want to be like, well, I have bi friends who say, or like lesbian friends who say that. I don't want to be one of those.
Yeah.
That said,
from the experience that you've heard from people,
my experiences, from what I've seen online, of being an ally, considering myself an ally to the LGBTQ,
what is your point?
Community. The fact is that a lot of people discover these feelings, or only even have these feelings towards one person. Like, it could have been like Audrey discovering the side of herself
because of
Emma, you know, and that not being something super unfamiliar.
Yeah.
Yeah. It hurts. I can see how that could hurt the idea of like bisexual women.
Well, it kind of falls into the whole, like, I don't know if it's stereotype is the word, or cliche, or what, that's like, oh, they find out you're gay, oh, you must be into me.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, so, even though that's the, like, fear of this, like, stereotype and of what this could mean, it's also, from what I understand, a somewhat realistic
thing.
Representation of, like, the one thing that messes with it here, though, is the fact of, it's like, well, we were, like, sisters.
Yeah.
That kind of.
Well, they were to Emma.
They were to Emma, but even Audrey kind of is like, we were so close.
Yeah.
Through, like, you helped me with my family stuff.
Yeah, but that would make sense that why she...
Exactly. So, it's kind of what I said earlier of, like, you could still...
Yeah. So, here's the thing. I'm not quite as pro it as you seem to be. I still think it is a potentially problematic message. I will say, on the flip side, if you were going to try to defend them, Brooke and Audrey are still friends, and that... I do feel like, while it might be problematic, I actually think that the artistic merits of the reveal might make it worth it in this case.
Right.
When you put it together with the Noah thing, it becomes more of a...
so that's where, like, it happening after the Noah thing is what makes it a lot worse for me.
Yeah.
So, the thing that kind of makes it more okay for me here is the fact that it... And, like, maybe a less problematic message is the fact that it happened, like, in their young adulthood.
Yeah, they're basically, like, early, like, eighth grade, it seems like.
Yeah, when that side of our identities of, like, romance and sexuality and all that, where that, like, with puberty, it starts really kind of becoming on the forefront of our thoughts. So that kind of, it just kind of makes sense more. I don't deny that it has problematic implications.
Yeah.
I agree that it has an artistic benefit here.
Yeah.
But it also, I feel, has enough real-world analogs that it doesn't really
I get where you're coming
disturb
from.
Me.
All right, I'm going to read this next email because it's shorter, and then you can read the long one.
Awesome.
All right, so Colin says, I'm, like, so upset and heartbroken to even try to do this. Like, I was hoping Noah wouldn't die, but I didn't think about who'd really die. This killer is so damned cruel, and holy shit, Brandon James is alive! or Eli is just fucking weird. Either way, I'm still just devastated for Noah, although I'll give props where it's due. It was clever to make the feed a video instead of a live feed, although I have to imagine how gruesome her death must have looked. I hope if there's a season 3, Noah can like someone without having them brutally murdered. So I post...
Audrey's gonna become his wife, and Audrey gets ripped away in the first episode.
Oh, God.
No.
So I pose this question. Is my theory right that Brandon James is back and wants revenge, or is Eli a sick fuck who better be graphically put through a wood chipper for what he's done?
I don't think it's either.
At this point, I think that Brandon James probably is back. I just don't think that he's the killer.
I don't know if he... I'm not sure I'm ready to say it's Brandon.
Yeah. I don't think he's the killer, but I'd be surprised if he didn't survive. It'd be weird if, like, then they were like, oh, well, but he didn't survive.
Okay, yeah, all right. It might still happen. Yeah. But yeah, no, I would be fine if he was... I wouldn't be surprised if he's back. I don't think he's the killer looking out for... revenge.
Yeah.
And I don't think Eli is the killer looking for mayhem or whatever
I think the Eli thing is another red herring.
Yeah.
But maybe it's more complicated than that. You know, we'll see.
The double, triple, back
twist.
Yeah.
So this is our loopy episode, guys. In case you didn't notice from the very opening of this episode.
Well, even before we started.
So I do want to talk more about Zoe as far as just that. Yeah, I'm pretty upset about this. This was a really heartbreaking one.
It was
really tragic. I loved that actress.
I really liked Zoe, even with all the weirdness. I liked her a lot.
Yeah, I liked her a lot.
And even thinking she was a killer, I liked her a lot.
Yeah, so I'm very sad to see her go, and I'm a little bit bummed that she's not the killer, just because I wanted to see how great that actress would be in that role.
That would have been good.
But it took guts, and they finally gave us what we asked for, which is a real death that had punch to it. So... Overall, I think that was a solid move artistically. Why don't we get into the next email?
All right. So this is from Naomi. Mm-hmm. She says, great Emma and Audrey opening. Although we can see both sides of their fight, I have to side with Emma on this one. Love Audrey so much more, but Willa's acting was perfect in their scenes. It upset me to still see fans bitching about Emma being too harsh on Audrey. There's no good way to take what Audrey did. In fact, I think Emma was too mild. Maybe if it wasn't on MTV, we'd see a girl fight.
I thought that was interesting that they said maybe if it wasn't on MTV. It's like not like we haven't seen violence on
this show. MTV has girl fights all the time. Isn't this the place that created Jersey Shore?
In fact, we had Emma attacking Haley.
Oh, yeah.
But do you want to say anything about the who side you're on in this argument? If you think that she was too mild?
I mean, at first I was like, well, Audrey said she would be honest. Why wouldn't she be? And I was like, never mind, she wasn't. Not being honest and good reading on her Emma. So I kind of switched from one side to the other, but in the end, they're both kind of in the wrong.
Yeah. That's the thing is, so I don't, especially given that he was with Piper when Rachel was killed, I don't blame Audrey. I think she's made some mistakes, but I'm not like upset with her or think she's a bad person. She's just someone who's made mistakes. Emma also made mistakes, maybe a little more relatable and simple as far as, like, leaving your friends behind.
More on the high school level.
but she did screw up, and that is understandable that Audrey is upset with her.
Yeah. All right, the tension in the scene in the woods, as Noah realized it was the killer, was amazing. Obviously, we all saw the promo for the episode, so we knew what was coming. But that didn't take away from how much I felt like watching it. Noah's line, "This isn't how it's supposed to end," tugged at my heartstrings. Yes, I love that line.
Very good.
Like with Brooke in the freezer, they combined a few fears. The fear of bleeding out, of suffocating, and of being buried alive. John Carna did an amazing job in that scene.
Totally agree.
Lots of great tension this episode. I think the writers were playing on that around this time last season. Sheriff Hudson was snooping around Brooke's house, I think, and that's when Piper got him from behind. I was afraid Miguel was going... was gonna be a goner.
Yeah, I thought of that too, that it was very reminiscent of the scene where the sheriff died last year going into house by himself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the reason I didn't think that he would be killed. I was like, this is too one for
one. Yeah,
yeah. All right. Especially because they made him sexier this episode with the stubble. I don't know if I would have called that sexier. He looked more haggard to me, actually. He looked like this is a guy who hasn't eaten, slept in his bed. He's surviving off of coffee and adrenaline. And he's a miserable parent.
I will say, I really like Miguel. Yeah. I think he was a really good addition this season.
I love his character. Yeah. All right. And he's a good cop.
Yeah.
Other than going alone, always bring backup, whatever.
Yep.
Anyway, I think the person standing outside the house wasn't the killer, but maybe Tina, Eli's mom, because it looked like they were wearing a black hoodie, not a cape. That's my opinion as well.
That's interesting.
It just, the fabric didn't seem hood-like.
It's not your opinion that it's Tina, though.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry. Tina is an interesting call.
Yeah, I think that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious as to why.
Well, that's... I mean, think about that. We saw her running around in the shadows before lighting things on fire.
Yeah, but why would she be here?
Yeah, it's an interesting guess, but right. I don't know that it makes the most sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Not going to lie, I'd totally be down for a spinoff of Maggie, Miguel, Kevin, and Brandon James in their teen years. That might do better than the original version. Maybe not now that we know how it would end. Yeah,
that's true.
If you want that, go watch the show Dan live tweets.
What, Dead of
Dead
Summer?
Dead of Summer.
What? How is that? Oh, it's because it's a period
it's
piece?
It's in the 80s.
Yeah.
Did either of y'all suspect Audrey having feelings for Emma? I mean, I kind of low-key shipped it since season one, but I didn't think that they were going to go that route. Did you like that layer, or did you find it unnecessary? It sounds bad, but I think I would like Emma more if she were bisexual or a lesbian.
Yeah, I get why you're saying that, and it does sound bad, but I also agree with you. It's just in that, like, it would just add more layers to her character.
She's just a white bread.
Yeah,
she's too blah. Simple.
Yeah.
She's just boring. Yeah. This episode made her not boring.
Let's be honest, being gay makes you cool, guys.
Sure. Yeah, I won't not say that. I don't know.
I'm joking.
I'm not going to be like, no, if you're, no one's cool. All right.
It doesn't make you uncool, but.
Anyway, what is going on with our
I don't know.
Heads today? All right. I didn't suspect Audrey of having feelings for Emma, by the way. That was the real question here.
I kind of did in season one, but kind of forgot about it.
I binged season one in anticipation of the finale, so I don't know what I thought. Whatever I thought, I might have texted to Dan at one point and then immediately continued watching the show. All right. I really did expect for the killer to have rigged or for something to cut Noah in half or stab him when the girls opened the door. If every episode was like this, then they'd probably have a higher viewership. The killer is very sick and twisted. How cruel to give them false hope, which I guess is the point. Did y'all expect Zoe to be dead when they opened the box? I started to think the feed was a loop when Noah first hallucinated in his box.
I did not think he was dead. It was one of those episodes that did its job really well, where it's like, if I had paused and thought about, okay, what do I think will happen here, I probably would have figured it out. But it digged its heels into me, and I was so sucked in that I wasn't really thinking ahead that much.
I didn't think that anyone would be in the box.
Mm, interesting. Well, I was still so set on, I still feel like he was the killer.
Right.
That I was,
you know. Well, that was a part of it, of being like, they could have been a loop thing, and then it could have been like, no, I still have her, ha 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 ha, and she ran out of time, and then the cops would have shown up, and then it would have been like, what's happening, you know, like.
I will say, someone asked us, I forget if it was Connor or someone, asked us last week who we thought would die by the end of the season, and Zoe was on my list of people who would die, but that was because I thought she was one of the killers.
One of the killers, or at least involved in a sketchy way, maybe had an unhealthy obsession with Noah.
Yeah.
Wanted to, like, shave Audrey's head or something like that.
All right, moving on.
Well, I want it to be lighthearted, because this next one is actually, like,
serious
Dan and Olga time.
Serious Dan and Olga time.
All right, killing off another POC, person of color, for those who don't know. Mm. Dang, I get it because I'm a writer, and nowadays everyone gets upset about the trope. I get upset also, but not so mad as others, because I get why it has to happen. Someone has to die. It's a trade-off. Either we have POC characters as love interests go into racial relationships, and they get killed off, Or we have an all-white cast where there is no representation. Sure, it would be ideal that the only black girl on the show stays alive, but it's a slasher series. What are you going to do?
All right, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
I get where you're coming from, and I'm very personally torn on this, too, because it did a little bit hurt my ability to fully be like, yay, great episode.
Yeah.
Because they were killing off the only black girl. And, you know, it also is a sort of strange thing that both of Noah's love interests have been people of color, and both of them have died.
Been killed. Yeah.
But Noah hasn't.
Yeah.
And, because that's the thing. What are you going to do? You could have killed off Noah and kept Zoe alive. That's what you could have done. I mean, and I'm not saying that they have to do that. I still thought it was artistically and aesthetically a really powerful moment. And that Noah is, you know, our character that we've been with, and this is a newer character. I do think that the root of the problem, honestly, comes back to that our core cast is all white.
Is all white, especially... Yeah.
That the remaining Lakewood Five are all white.
Yeah, I was going to say, now especially, there's, like, very little.
And the two big deaths that we've got, because Jake wasn't white, right? I might be wrong.
We don't know, but...
I assumed he was not just white. But
not necessarily Caucasian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, now we have Stavo, we have Miguel. It's not like we are all white. But
that's it.
But, like, yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah.
No, literally, that's it
now. Yeah. So it's
this show sucks at representation.
Yeah, it's not great. And so that we guess we have the cop, the black cop who did survive.
I don't know his name. Yeah, does that count?
No, I don't think it counts. I'm just saying, just in case someone brings it up.
Right.
You know, it's a problem because they didn't need all of these characters to be white in the first place.
Yeah.
We didn't need, I mean, we have three main female characters and all of them are white.
Yeah,
you know,
that's not necessary. Yeah, so. I mean, here's the thing. It was poor casting initially.
Yeah.
It was like short-sighted, small-minded.
Yeah.
Potentially. But then they cast, I would say, like, the perfect actress for the role of
Zoe. Yeah.
Kiana did an amazing job.
Yeah.
Super engaging. Pulled off everything they threw at her. Yeah. Really. Like, she pulled it off.
Yeah.
I never had an issue with her performance. I don't think.
Yeah, I didn't either. I do think it comes back to that question of, so if they knew this was Zoe's arc, and they knew this was what they were always going to, is it better that they had, that they cast a person of color, or would it have been better if they just cast a white girl, knowing where the character went? I'm personally still of the mind that it's still better that they cast her, because it still showed a positive interracial relationship, even if it didn't end out well.
Yeah.
And that she was a great character and a great actress.
I agree. You know, if you want to go also of, like, who Zoe was on the show.
Yeah.
Where she was smarter than everybody else.
Yeah.
She, you know, she could have gone to a space camp, no one would have blinked an eye or thought, like, of course she's making that up. You know, like, she's someone who had such huge potential as a person, more so than just, like, who her role put her as, like, a love interest.
I honestly think, for me, I think it might have been more interesting to completely reverse this than to have her find Noah dead.
Yeah.
Because as much as I love Noah, I think that he's as good an actress as he is an actor, and that he and Stavo combined could have filled the role.
Yeah.
You know, like, we don't, so, like as far as what he provides to the show.
It makes me wonder of, like, whether they would, if they knew going into this that they wouldn't get a season 3.
Yeah.
I feel like they would have reversed it.
Yeah,
where they would
maybe,
have,
yeah.
Where they would have had Audrey have the revelation, it's under the pig, and then it being actually Zoe.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the recording being of Noah.
Yeah, yeah. That would have been very cool. The other thing is that I, as the killer, why would the killer kill Zoe and not Noah? That if he's trying to get at Emma and Audrey, the biggest way to do that would be to kill Noah, right? That would be, like, think about, like, going, now we're basically going to the third act-ish now, right? We only have a couple more episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you started off that act by really raising the stakes by killing off, you know, the most important person in Audrey's life, that would have you know, been all the more powerful. It's such a hard call because I still think this episode is an A. Like, as much as I do think this is potentially problematic and I can get why people's criticisms are, I still feel like artistically this episode's an A.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do think it could have been even better.
I'll be honest, that this question of, well, is it have an all-white cast or a predominantly white cast or have, like, the, you know, people of color, characters of color have very short stints on the show or not have them at all. Like, it's something that keeps coming up and up and up and up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the only solution to this is to not have a predominantly white cast.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's it.
Yeah, no, if you killed off Zoe, but there were two other black girls on the show, I don't think you there would be much of a leg to stand on to criticize that. You know, like, so it's just, moving on with the email. So after the flashbacks.
Oh, right. Yeah. There's more. But wait. There is more. All right. So after the flashbacks, Brandon James is definitely alive. Just so I'm not misunderstanding that. We think so.
We assume so.
Mostly, I think. All right. Eli at the end, though. Mucho creepy. I don't take any of the scenes with Eli or Stavo as seriously as some people do because they're making it too obvious for both of them. More so for Stavo. I honestly think Eli was just there to see Emma. Maybe you wanted to Goldilock into her house. Again, thanks for taking the time to do the podcast.
Thank you for the time of the email. Good email, good discussion points.
Emma is Goldilocks. I like that.
At Connor64 Link says, best episode so far this season. It was so good and hit me on so many emotional levels. Guess my Zoe's the killer theory is wrong after all.
I'm with you.
All right, so that's basically it for feedback. Do we want to say, do we have theories on the killer? Do we have theories on who dies next? I'm assuming no death next episode. Unless, are we, do we only have two episodes left?
I don't freaking know. Why don't they say they have two episodes left?
Yeah, okay. If someone has, like, definitive proof that there's two episodes left, please let us know.
And not, like, Wikipedia. Yeah. Like, anyone can edit Wikipedia. I don't know.
Yeah, because I want to know, because if there are two episodes left, then I do assume there's a killer, like, a kill next week. As far as who the next death will be, I'm still expecting either the mayor or Maggie or, you know, like, one of the adults, I think, is one of the, you know, maybe Tina, maybe Miguel.
It would be nice if it was Maggie.
Yeah.
I think it would be about time that Maggie got
axed. Or maybe Eli. It could be Eli, too.
Could be, but
do we have theories on the killer? I still am expecting Kieran.
I am, too. That's my next big one.
But who are the other options at this point?
Freaking no. Because I Troy feel like James, his son, his Brandon James' nephew or niece.
I feel like we're running out of possibilities. As much as, you know, honestly, you know what's unfortunate is I feel like we're going to have a repeat of Piper. Because I think it is going to be Kieran, and that we did figure out early on, as good as they were about, like, about all these red herrings and things, I still think that Kieran's going to be one of the killers, because who else is left? It's not going to be Brooke, it's not going to be Noah, or, I mean, I don't, at this point, I don't think it can be Emma. It's not going to be Lang, so who's even left?
You know, like, I don't know. It's not going to be Branson. All right, so according to IMDb, got two episodes left. Heavenly Creatures and When a Stranger Calls.
Oh, When a Stranger Calls.
That's not to say that they can't IMDb, add a 13th episode.
Well, also, IMDb originally had 14 episodes listed, so I don't even know. But
I don't know.
All right. Do you have any last minute theories or anything you want to move, or should we end it out?
Mm-mm, no.
No, she doesn't know.
I don't know anymore.
Scream you later.
Stick around after the credits, guys. There's a treat.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years,
wonder what that sounds like.
Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name?
I don't know that one.
You don't know that one? Oh, hello, I love you.
Oh, okay. Tell me your name. I do know that one. Squeam. I'm gonna talk. Squeam. I'm gonna talk so I don't pronounce my owls. So it won't be it'll be Squeam, the MTV series.
Oh my.
Can we hear what it sounds like when we whisper into it?
Yeah, we can.
I've been curious about that. Dingle, dingle, dingle.
Dingle, dingle, dingle.
Hey, buddy, do you share?
Alright, so I'm talking like this. It's Daniel, and I'm Dan, and here I am.
I'm Olga. This is probably how I'll talk, because I always do, and I see Mega Man watching me, watching me.